Imagine not knowing what your income would be each week. Financial planning would be a nightmare. More than 90% of Vision's income is free will donations. When supporters commit to monthly giving, it provides greater certainty when budgeting for regular expenses and weighing up new opportunities that arise. And knowing we can rely on regular monthly gifts takes some guesswork out of operating a faith ministry. Monthly givers who share our mission are called Visionary Extra Mile Partners. And right now, you are invited to join this growing group of faithful supporters. The amount of your tax-deductible monthly gift is completely up to you. But what is most important is knowing that you are standing with us to reach Australia with the gospel. To become a Visionary Extra Mile Partner, click the banner in the Vision app or go to vision.org.au/extra mile. It only takes a few minutes, but will have an eternal impact. Vision. Life, culture, and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 on Vision.
On Mondays, we like to check in with the Australian Christian Lobby. Dan Flynn is joining us once again today. He's Deputy Director of the Australian Christian Lobby. Dan, a special welcome back to 2020.
It's a pleasure to be here, Neil.
Dan, let's start with what is one of those very, very serious things that's happening right now. And you could call it a new attack on Christian schools. It's the state of Victoria we're talking about. Last week, the Andrews government announced that new legislation will soon be introduced to allow courts and tribunals to determine who Christian schools can employ. You've been following it. What's the latest?
I've been very involved in this, Neil. This is something that's gone on Victoria for about 14 years. So this is an ALP government policy that's been on their wish list since about 2008. And what that is, Neil, is to basically say that Christian schools can only employ Christian staff exclusively in roles where it's an inherent requirement of the role. Or in other words, where, you know, religious belief is critical to the job. You know, clearly the headmaster, the chaplain, the maths teacher, certainly not the gardener, certainly not, probably some specialist teaching roles. So this is a chip at Christian schooling, and it's been on since 2008. In fact, it was made law in 2008, and it was to be implemented in around 2011. There was an election there. Ted Bailey, then the opposition leader, made a promise to ACL at the time that if elected, they would repeal that law, which they did. So the law was never actually implemented. The Andrews government was elected in 2014 with a promise to bring back this law, and they made a very fulsome attempt to do it. And in early December 2016, there was a very dramatic debate, and they lost by one vote in the upper house. Now they've gone to 2018 election without reference to this, but now it's back on the agenda. They feel their numbers are better. So it's a major concern for Christian schooling. Parents pay for Christian education. Usually these are people for whom it's a great financial sacrifice. They want all of the staff at the school to be ambassadors for the mission of the school. And as we know, Neil, you know, it takes a village to raise the children. You know, the gardener, the admin staff, are those who are, you know, helping people getting on buses. They're all part of the community, all have formal or informal relationships with the children, affirming the faith. And so this is a very important battle, and one which we'll be very involved in, as will Christian schools, because if this gets a foothold here, there would be trouble elsewhere in the country.
Well, Dan, I wonder whether some reflection here on what ordinary Aussies think about this proposal in Victoria. New polling on religious discrimination. There's some significant and telling results there that's coming from ordinary Australians.
Well, that's right, Neil. There was a poll that went out on the 9th of December, and it was one of these weighted polls, and from Compass Polling. What that showed us was the question was put on this issue we're talking about: should religious schools be forced to employ staff that are in conflict with the school's statement of faith? 60% said no, schools should not be forced to employ those staff, and 40% yes. So this is a poll of everyday Australians, not religious people. So most people think that Christian schools should be able to do exactly what they're doing now, in the same way that a political party does. Neil, there's, you know, no suggestion that an ALP government minister needs to employ, you know, a member of you know, the Liberal Party or someone with conservative views. It's a live and let live world, or so it should be. And we're quite disappointed to see this clamp down by the ALP. It's very much part of the LGBT agenda. Follows on from conversion therapy legislation in Victoria, and we hope we can win this battle. I might say your upcoming guest, Reverend Mark Durie, did a telling video when this campaign was run successfully in December 2016, where he made it clear that this actually applies to churches as well. So if a church were to employ somebody, perhaps in data admin, some role in the office, who wasn't a Christian, when this law comes in, a tribunal may say, oh no, you have to prefer a non-Christian in your church office because they may be better at doing data entry and their faith is not critical to the role. They're not the priest. So this is on for Christian churches and schools in Victoria.
Well, telling when you describe it like that, because it's the door ajar in Christian schools for what government control could be coming to Christian churches. And so these things are very significant. I note that Mark Spencer, who's the Director of Public Policy at Christian Schools Australia, he's saying this has the potential to fundamentally change the nature of Christian schools. And just to take that to its nth degree and get your thoughts here, Dan, the idea that Christian schools might not be Christian anymore if you haven't got Christians teaching the subjects. That's something that's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Well, it is. And, you know, Christian schooling is such an important place to nurture faith. It's very, very important. And no doubt the parents, most, and we know a bit about the parents, generally parents of people at Christian schools are aspirational people. We often typically tradies working incredibly hard to pay these fees. They want a faith education and they will mount a huge campaign here. And let's hope the government listens in Victoria. You know, it might sound like a first, but all things are possible.
And just to draw attention, there's an opportunity this week for listeners today to our conversation to do something practical, to be involved in a campaign. You've got some email campaigns coming up this week for listeners to go to the ACL website. They'll be able to participate in those. Easy to access and gives you a voice where you're listening, wherever you are around Australia, but especially, I guess, for Victorian listeners today, those campaigns coming this week, Dan.
Well, that's right, Neil. If people log on to the ACL, they'll find a campaign relevant to these issues. Obviously, we're doing some more research at the moment to make sure the wording, you know, is targeted. But please sign up, go to ACL, volunteer. We have plenty of activity for people to do, plenty of phone calls to be made to our supporters, to members of parliament on critical issues around the country. So you'd be most welcome. We look forward to you joining us.
Okay, another big issue, and this one passed last week in the state of Queensland, the euthanasia bill, the Voluntary Assisted Dying Bill 2021, and Queensland now the fifth state in Australia to pass these laws last Thursday, and close call here, 61 MPs voted in support, 30 voted against.
Neil, we thought perhaps the numbers might be 50 voting in support. And there were a lot of undecided. What is typical for certain members of parliament is when they see the momentum going a certain way, they'll rush to that side. So 61 in support is incredibly high and quite disappointing, particularly when there was no allowance for a number of very useful amendments, particularly to protect Catholic hospitals. And I think a quarter of the hospitals in Queensland are Catholic. There is a pathway in a Catholic hospital now for somebody who's not the patient's treating doctor, but somebody who is a euthanasia practitioner to actually enter a hospital and administer a drug to, you know, to kill a patient, let's be clear about it, without the hospital's approval. So this is the government overriding the faith-based hospitals' ethos, policies, governance. It's terribly concerning. It's a very statist type of legislation that would permit that. And, you know, a lot was done to push back, but sadly, in this case, unsuccessful. So we hope for better times ahead. We haven't got to this place overnight, and we won't get back overnight either. It's an incremental work that is going to take us many years to achieve.
So just to be clear for listeners, Dan, even in the Christian hospitals where you might hope that patients will be protected, somebody from the outside will be able to come into the hospital and administer a fatal dose or injection that will kill a patient. That's what the law is going to be in Queensland.
That is absolutely true, Neil. And there's nothing that the directors or the head people at these hospitals can do about it should they find that's a circumstance that a patient has requested it. It's against the ethics of the institution. That impasse will be broken by somebody, some medical practitioner sponsored by the state entering the hospital.
Okay. Just when you thought we might get into some lighter topics, let's take this another level deeper again, because what's happening in New South Wales is a very disturbing development too, where the New South Wales government's declared that only double vaccinated people will be able to attend church when reopening starts. What are your thoughts about what's happening in New South Wales, Dan?
Well, Neil, you give me all the easy topics, and this is definitely one of those. It's an interesting proposition. We are hearing effectively what I would call scaremongering by the government to say that people will have to have vaccine passports. They are deliberately unclear about, well, is that 70%? Is that 80%? Is that beyond 80%? Not telling us. They're putting out this a narrative that people will be required to be vaccinated to go to church. Can I say, Neil, the only example of this is in Israel, the only country in the world that actually has this. But you can still get into your synagogue or faith gathering if you can submit a negative test or if you have had coronavirus. So this would be definitely the tightest. I think some things to consider here, Neil, are that the current details, I think, on 70-80% vaccination rates for New South Wales are that 70% is likely to be reached in early October, 80% in mid-October. So this could potentially be a two-week problem, and bearing in mind that I don't even think that the churches are open till mid-October anyway. So it's a tactic by the government to drive up vaccination rates and to include the churches in that process. But clearly, beyond a shadow of a doubt, we are opposed to such a vaccine passport should it be implemented, because churches are meant to be open for all, and we are on the same page with all the major denominational leaders there in New South Wales who are not advocating civil disobedience, but saying, look, churches cannot be that impacted by the government in assembling, and they must minister to the needy. And if they're unvaccinated, then they must be able to be ministered to. So it's a complex problem. It may have a very small window, and it's interesting to see how it develops. And we're obviously looking and how we participate in this issue in a meaningful way.
Dan, I note that you say that the churches are not advocating civil disobedience, but I'm aware of some who are saying We can't in any Christian conscience turn people away at the door if they are not vaccinated. And in some sense there, no doubt that actually does qualify as civil disobedience, and it may actually be breaking the health orders, if not a law. There are different denominations who are handling this differently. I note that Catholic churches have said they're actually remaining shut until all who are welcome are able to attend. Then other churches that are working with infectious disease experts to minimise any risk management. So churches are taking some in-depth approaches here to work out how they can work with those health orders without being civilly disobedient. But some are going to be civil disobedient and they won't turn people away.
Yes, there's the accelerated rate of the vaccine take up is likely to overtake some of these issues, and we've seen that acceleration probably in the last 3 weeks. No doubt that once the vaccination rate is beyond 80%, that it's unlikely that there'd be any vaccine passports required, and if there is, then I think we're into a very different conversation, and one that would, the church's right to admit all people will be the primary consideration.
Dan, what about the idea of essential services? I know that people in the Christian community might be drawn in two directions here by saying we're not essential, but some saying, of course, we are essential. What are your thoughts around the church being an essential service?
Well, look, that's absolutely true, Neil, and I think that is the correct analogy, that somebody who is unvaccinated can go to the chemist, they can go and get their groceries, or they can go and get counselling or go and see a doctor. They're all essential services. And so I think the logic is acceptable that going to church is an essential service for people's spiritual and pastoral needs to be attended to. So I think there's a lot of logic in that argument.
Okay. Lots more developments coming. So far as the idea of those vaccine passports and New South Wales likely to be the test case there and how churches will respond. Hey, let me just quickly come to the truth of it live. On Saturday night, or Saturday lunchtime, I think it was, or afternoon in Adelaide, you had, another big event in Adelaide. Can you give us some insight into what happened?
Well, I certainly can, Neil. It was probably the final part of the tour. I think some 20,000 people have been spoken to live across the country over the last probably 6 months or so. Queensland, Tasmania, Western Australia, and Adelaide on Saturday night. It was an absolutely brilliant event. Certainly 1,500 people at least in that venue, which would be the premier venue in Adelaide, and Martin Niles speaking from Revelation 1 about the revelation of Jesus Christ in a very hope-filled message with a lot of practical advice for people as well in the Q&A. So it was a sensational grand finale to the tour, and it's been an exceptional, event to be able to do during COVID to speak to that many people live. So it's been a huge blessing. And I think in terms of mainstream understanding of the Australian Christian lobby through things like the cancellation of the venue in WA and various media attention and the attendance by many MPs at these events, I think has helped people get a broader understanding of the work of the Australian Christian lobby. And I think it's also helped us as an organisation become closer to the concerns of everyday Australians.
Well, Dan Flynn, they certainly have been what most people would certainly say is a great success. Those Truth of It Live tour dates sell out in various capital cities, and in such a time as a time when there are COVID lockdowns, it's been an amazing success. Dan, no doubt listeners will want to follow along and find out what sort of action they can take with some campaigns that you have running. Let me point listeners to the Australian Christian Lobby website, acl.org.au. These are significant, changing times, and the coercion that's being brought against the church over those big issues we've been talking about today, very, very significant. acl.org.au. So you can, as your listener listening right around Australia, you can take some action today. acl.org.au. Dan Flynn is Deputy Director of the Australian Christian Lobby. Dan, thanks so much for the update today on 2020.
Thanks for your time, Neil.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.